The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Okay, Tov, Shavua Tov. Yeah, just listening to all the news about people not well. We wish...
Yeah, Louis Karpus, unfortunately.
All of those.
Yeah, he is. We did speak to him about it on Thursday and Friday. He wasn't feeling too bad, but I think he is battling just a little bit. And, of course, our thoughts and prayers with him. Please, God,
indeed,
he will be good. He will be back on the radio as soon as possible.
And what's happening as well in offering my prayers for a speedy recovery. Yeah, before we get into the main bodies of the, just a little snippet. A state inquiry into the Meron disaster has been set up.
Right.
Under the auspices of a former Chief Justice, Supreme Court Justice Miriam Naor. She is leading the panel. And yesterday the hearings began. Northern District Chief, Police Chief, Shimon Lavi was the first person to begin giving evidence in this particular commission of inquiry. 45 people were left dead, as some people will know, some people will remember, in that disaster that took place around Lag BaOmer. And the government commission has now begun its investigations. 6 million shekel budget has been set aside to allow this particular government commission to hear all that it needs to hear. Not a long list of people who are set to give their evidence, but the first evidence has already been given yesterday, began to be given yesterday, and we will be watching that with some anticipation to see exactly what comes out of this.
Is there a lot of anger around this? Is there acceptance, confidence in the way this is being investigated? Because this had potential.
Well, the Orthodox community in particular, I think, feel quite nervous about the fact that they're going to be blamed, forcing the hand of then Prime Minister Netanyahu and his government to allow this to go ahead. Now, the main concern wasn't the safety issue, which ultimately was the main problem. The main concern at that stage in forcing this to go ahead was because of Corona, and there was concern that the government was going to not allow these people to gather in the way that they did. 100,000 people, I think, all in all, gathered together, came to this event in Lag BaOmer, and there was concern that the government was going to stop the event from going ahead because of Corona at the time. But there had been years and years of concern about the safety aspect, which ultimately was the reason why this government commission has been put together. So, yeah, there are certain sectors of the community who are concerned that they're going to be blamed for all that took place. We will see exactly how that turns out.
Yeah, and tell us what's happening on the COVID front. I know that there's been lots of boosters happening.
So the booster program has now been opened up to the under 50s. On Friday, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett presented his shoulder for his third booster. He is, I think, 49 years old, so just qualified to go into that under 50 program, or just missed out, sorry, on previously not being vaccinated. But now he is in with the group who are allowed to be vaccinated. Lots and lots of issues, lots and lots of different concerns being raised. First of all, the numbers continue to be high in terms of the people who are seriously ill with the virus, people who have been diagnosed recently, still some very, very high numbers. Hospitals onto a very high footing. Lots of concern around hospitals, whether they have enough budget. There have been protests by hospitals saying that they are overburdened, that they're going to start to have to turn people away within the next week or two because agreements that they've reached with government about funding, about budgeting, have not been adhered to. I suspect that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett is going to have to personally intervene. He is getting ready for his trip to the US to meet with Joe Biden later this week. And so Hospital situation is not good. There seems to be a plateauing of numbers from what I can gather in terms of the number of people who are being diagnosed. So that puts a lot of faith, I think, in this vaccination program, this booster program, in terms of potentially bringing things under control. There are many people who do not want to be vaccinated, who have received two vaccines, received two vaccinations previously, but now don't want to get the third one because for them, this is submitting to an ongoing program of vaccinations, which has no end to it. And I've spoken to more than a few people who are saying, we are concerned about submitting ourselves for this third booster shot because it kind of means we are submitting ourselves to this endless program and who knows where it might take us to. There are concerns about...
Well, we know where it'll take you to if you don't get the vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of the first to turn up in my age group to be vaccinated, Howard, so I'm with you on that. I absolutely agree that, unfortunately, the statistics are so overwhelming in showing what happens for people, those people who don't get vaccinated. The statistics in Israel at the moment in terms of people who are ill with the virus, who are seriously ill, show that overwhelming majority of people who are suffering right now are people who were not vaccinated with the first two vaccinations. And there is also very, very strong scientific support to show that even the third booster that we've received now has got its positive effects, that people who have received it are less likely to be infected. Having said that, it's not a panacea. There are people who have been vaccinated with three vaccinations and who are yet unwell, who have contracted the virus, who are on hospital, seriously ill, some of them. So it's not, the ultimate answer to every person's dreams. There are many, many issues that confront people who need to be vaccinated, who wish to be vaccinated, who do not wish to be vaccinated. There's a horrendous story in my home city about an anti-vax woman, an anti-vaxxer lady who has twins who were sent to their daycare, to their kindergarten, in spite of the fact that the family were not vaccinated, and lots of anger around that because all the people within that kindergarten, many people actually contracted the virus, and a lot of fingers are being pointed at her in particular. I'm not sure whether that's valid or not valid, but, you know, there is now a certain confrontation that's being reached between the anti-vax groups and those who are strongly supporting vaccinations. But the situation in Israel at the moment is that the numbers are still very, very high. The government yesterday decided that school would return on the 1st of September. The decision was made. That was it. There is no more going back on this. However, there is the program for vaccinating children that has also been approved within the school system. So as soon as school children go back to school on the 1st of September, there will be vaccination programs for the over 12s with parental consent. That has also been approved. But there are the so-called red cities, children that may not go back to school within red cities because of the number of infections in those cities. So still a lot of consternation, even though the government is trying to come out with very, very unequivocal decisions about what will be happening. There is still a lot of uncertainty about how the school year will begin, who will be at school, who will not be at school, at what point do we need to go into isolation. Still a lot of people being infected right now.
Is there any sense of what is going to happen over Rosh Hashanah and the Chagim?
So, yeah, I mean, that's another question which arises because no firm decisions yet made. Still lots of indications about the fact that there will be normal, in inverted commas, activity over Rosh Hashanah and over the Chagim. There are no current restrictions in terms of people getting together with their families. There are few restrictions around shul services. There are restrictions, but quite limited restrictions. In other words, the shul services are still going to allow to be to go ahead
right.
in a relatively usual manner. But between now and then, because it's another couple of weeks yet before that happens, we expect that there might well be some changes.
It's a very worrying because it really will, I think, do tremendous damage to the morale of the country if Israel is then once again shut down over the Chagim. But I guess we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think the real dilemma that we're experiencing is this psychological health versus physical health. Where do we draw the line? Where, what becomes more important and at what stage? We do wish, you know, obviously to boost people's morale. We do wish to support psychological well-being. We do want people to go out, to go to the gyms, to go to their restaurants, to go, and to go to the beaches, to go to the malls, to feel free to move around in a relatively usual way. And yet, we have this physical, threat that we need to somehow find an even balance between managing people's mental well-being and
which
their physical well-being.
Absolutely. Let's just talk about this incident yesterday. An Israeli border policeman was seriously injured in unrest along the Gaza border over the weekend. What details around this incident are known?
So, yeah, there was an incident over Shabbat where an IDF border policeman was seriously injured by a shooting incident along that border in the Gaza border area. This was border police officer Barael Shmueli, who's been critically wounded. He was shot in the head, actually, by protesters who gathered along the Gaza side of the separation fence. And it seems as if the IDF were caught a little off guard where this particular incident was concerned, because even though they knew that protesters were due to be gathering alongside the border fence, and in fact there were increased numbers of IDF soldiers on the border in order to confront this particular situation and to try to deal with it as best as possible. But for some reason, there was just this the unexpected incident that took place along the Karni, the unused Karni crossing, which has this security concrete fence that has been constructed. The concrete wall that's constructed there seems to have openings, and those openings were, I think, designed for use more by the IDF rather than for use by Palestinian protesters on the Gaza side of the border. And for some reason, there was this unexpected encroachment of the concrete fence by those protesters. It wasn't expected that they would come so close to the fence and actually use that little hole to shoot through. And this is how the IDF border policeman, unfortunately, was shot. There were also delays in getting into hospital. That is also the subject of an IDF investigation right now to understand exactly how all of that happened. The border policeman who was shot was actually a sniper, was in his position. There are reports that he was even under attack, that his weapon was under attack. Some protesters tried to grab hold of his weapon. He managed to at least retain control of his weapon, but unfortunately in the process was seriously injured. And of course, what we're seeing is a huge increase at the moment in protests along that fence. Again, these incendiary balloons were sent over yesterday. What's happening is that the Naftali Bennett government has tried to change the paradigm, tried to shift things as to the way that they were being done previously, stop the Qatari money from going into Gaza, try to create an environment in which they can reach a much longer term solution involving also Egyptian intelligence forces and Egyptian involvement to try and negotiate with Hamas forces to try to get a longer term solution. Unfortunately, that comes with a certain price. We understand that as a result of that incident on Saturday, the IDF was involved in attacking Hamas targets in Gaza again on Saturday evening. We also understand that Egypt decided to close their crossing into Gaza in protest against the events that took place there. There seems to be some sort of a violation of trust in terms of the agreements that were being reached in terms of the negotiations that have been going on between Hamas, Egypt and Israel, some of it directly, some of it indirectly. But ultimately, there has been an attempt to try to change things around in order to reach a longer term solution. We haven't seen that bearing any fruit as yet.
All right. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. I just love the Quds News Network says an Israeli sniper was positioned on the eastern border of Gaza Strip to shoot the Palestinian protesters today, but a brave, completely unarmed and defenseless protester dared to shoot the Israeli sniper from the Gaza side and cause him serious injuries.
Well, obviously must have been unarmed.
Well, obviously. I mean, the facts, as always, speak for themselves, completely unarmed. It is 8:01. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.